Welcome back. And like Night Ranger said, Sister Christian, the time has come. And it's season two. But here is the debacle. Is it season two, episode one? Or is it season two, episode, and the number just keeps going? Because what was the last episode number?
27.
So this, I mean, Nate says it's one, but I think it's 28.
Season two, episode one. You can still count the episode numbers, like TV series. They have a number of total episodes.
Ryan's the voice of reason, so whatever Ryan says makes sense. Usually, is how we try to determine some of this.
Jerry, stop talking.
I like 28.
The voice of reason. See, the voice of reason has spoken. I'm kidding, Jerry.
I like 28 because I had it named.
Oh, what was it?
Jerry's always late 28.
Uh-huh. I was here on time.
I know, you ruined it.
Well, you're here at 9:56, I think.
Damn, and you walked in at like 9:57. I'm like, well, there goes that idea.
And it was foggy. Well, it was a beautiful ride. The trees had all kinds of snow on it.
Such a pleasant ride through Iowa from Des Moines to Vinton.
Yes. Fresh from the sand to
the snow. It's getting better, the four lane.
Yeah, they were actually working on it today.
They are?
Yeah, they were moving some dirt and stuff around.
That's crazy.
It's going to be nice when it's all done.
Yeah, yes. We'll be able to get to Boone in like 15 minutes from here.
I'll be excited.
Well, it takes 15 minutes of two lane to get to the four lane.
Yeah, so remember, they're still good. Unless you can get four lane from the high school to
not the way I drive. Takes me like 3 minutes to get to 30. 12 minutes to
three
get
minutes?
To.
3 minutes?
Yeah.
That's hauling ass.
Yeah.
This 13 miles.
Hold it to the floor. My new Tesla. It goes really fast.
You got a Tesla?
Yeah. Don't tell nobody.
Are you prototyping something?
I'm wearing my GM shirt today.
Talking about Tesla.
Found some treats. Do you want a nutty bar?
Took those from our snack table.
I said I found them. I didn't say where.
Dog treats.
Yeah, and I got. Or do you want some dog treats?
Those are probably for me, right?
Yeah. No, those are... for the dogs. I had to bring them along today. Babysitters.
You got the
babysitter's gone today.
The Marshalltown Speedway mascots?
Yeah, they're down here somewhere.
What kind of dogs are those?
Pomskies.
Pomskies?
Yeah.
One of them is world famous.
Now there's Jack.
He was Jack was on the Puppy Bowl.
Jack, you were on the Puppy Bowl, weren't you?
They're cute little suckers. Yeah.
He's like, come here.
He's like, no.
Not enough of you.
He says, you're not going to put me on TV.
I'm looking for something to pee on, he says.
No, there's Jill.
Them dogs must be female.
No, that's...
As soon as you say, come here, they take off.
Well, I mean, it's anybody in life. Hi, sis. Come
here. So, podcast episode one.
Season two, episode one, but 28 total.
And their names are Jack and Jill?
Jack and Jill. And then Sunday they get a brother named Joey.
You get another one?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, I know.
What is Jackie going to do with four dogs?
Are you like starting like a bobsled team or something like that?
Oh, we could actually.
You could. They look like
you know, we're going to see dogs. Jerry on the news. One of them people that have 56 dogs removed from their house.
No, it's going to be 57, jackass.
They'll call him the crazy dog man.
Oh, I'll be like Mary Poppins.
Urbandale.
We had a lady in town here a couple years ago that was on the news, and she.
Oh, I remember that.
She had like 700 animals in her house.
She had all sorts of different varieties
she
and
had
breeds.
Yeah,
there's people that do, yeah.
Birds, and it was like a pet store.
But it was not.
No.
Like she was hoarding them.
It is bad. Yeah. I think they removed all the animals and she moved out of town or something.
Well, I remember that because actually where Jack came from, where we rescued him from, they were over here and took a bunch of the animals back to Des Moines.
Oh,
from back
Vinton?
To Minnesota, yeah.
Really?
Because, yeah, they get the call a lot to go out that way.
Those relatively calm dogs, they hyper at all?
Oh, yeah, they're hyper.
Are they?
Yeah.
We have too many Australian Shepherds, and them things are wound up.
Oh, these two, when they get going, they're wound up. Ooh. Wound up pretty tight. They're wound up tighter than Mike Albertson in an infield interview at Kokopah.
Oh, we got all kinds of fun Wahoo conversations we could have.
Oh, what would Wahoo say?
What would Wahoo say? Our new segment.
Exactly. You can make that a segment.
We'll debut that here the in podcast. The next couple. But yeah, hey, did you, how was Christmas? Let's get through that. You had a good Christmas, Brett? Did you get everything you want?
I did have a good Christmas. The first time since I met my wife in 03, 04, she moved here. It's the first time we spent Christmas morning in Waco.
Ooh.
So that was nice. You know, I mean, she really misses Waco, and We usually go down there. We've had a couple of times where we've left at like noon on Christmas Day. We celebrate Christmas here and then head south. And my parents aren't here. You know, they live in Florida now. And my oldest daughter, Alyssa, is starting her own family in Waterloo and doing her thing. So, you know, we decided
you went to Vegas too, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, we initially, well, they had that blizzard. Remember that blizzard was forecasted for like the 23rd or the 24th. It was right before Christmas. And so we when we closed the office, we jumped in the car and drove down that night.
We left because that was in the last episode because she was all freaked about, we got to go.
Yeah, we left like, I don't know, like noon that day, and we drove all the way through to Waco. We got there like 3 or 4 in the morning. So, but it was, a good Christmas. Yeah, and we went to Vegas for New Year's, which was fun. I don't know if I need to do it again. It's expensive. Gambling in Vegas.
What do you mean?
Gambling.
The picture I got didn't make it look expensive.
Well, gambling is expensive in Vegas during New Year's.
Well, everything.
But I don't gamble
if you don't win.
If you don't win, it's expensive. If you win, it's fine.
I do lose occasionally.
Dogs underfoot here. Something was.
And you? Jerry?
Well, it was good. Christmas was kind of. I got a shirt and a pizza. I got a shirt for Christmas that was good.
And a pizza.
A piece of what? Pizza.
Pizza. The shirt. You know, we had pizza. And then New Year's, we went to the, did our annual trek to the Retai Checks. And I found out in the state of Wisconsin, or maybe just in this area of Wisconsin, there is an unwritten rule. Bars don't close on New Year's Eve.
At all?
I was in a bar drinking at 4 in the morning.
Was it Retai Checks bar?
No. Scott closed early because he didn't want to be out late. But we literally, so
it's bar closed time in Wisconsin normally, two. You know. It's two.
So it's like noon, it's like midnight, and everybody's, I'm like, oh, good, we're going to get to go home here in a little bit. And then it's like 2 o'clock, and I'm waiting for last call, and all of a sudden it doesn't happen. And they're like, hey, come on, we're going to another bar. And I'm like,
how does that work?
I go, it's this. And then shot some fireworks. We stopped at Jared Seifert's house. Then what did we do? Shot some fireworks. Met a nice deputy sheriff. Kewaunee County's deputy sheriff. Apparently, unlike Iowa, even though they sell it there, you have to have a permit to shoot them.
So really? Did you get fined?
Did you get in trouble?
No, he actually just sat in the driveway and watched.
So that was the permit?
Yeah, that was the permit. He permitted us to keep shooting fireworks. There was gunshots reported in Luxembourg, is what they said.
And then made him watch.
Went to the Packers game, watched him beat the Vikings. Then went to
the playoffs turn out for the Packers.
And not the as good as it did for the Vikings.
I was going to say, both of them turned out
the Cowboys.
Great. And the Cowboys. And the Packers, Vikings, and Cowboys have one thing in common. They're not going to the
They all lost Super Bowl their last game of the year.
Yeah. Somebody's going to win the Super Bowl.
What'd you do, Ryan?
For Christmas?
Yes.
I just stayed in town. Did go to Chicago for a couple days when we were closed over the holidays, but
didn't hit a deer on the way, did you?
No, but finally, you know, I hit that deer 3.5 months ago. They finally got parts in. I'm going to get my car fixed next week so I don't have to manually do my turn signal every time I turn left.
Well, at least
I'll probably keep doing it out of habit. But
that's good stuff.
For all the left-hand turns you make in Denton?
Yeah, quite a few.
New Year's, did you do anything exciting?
Went out here in town, but nothing too earth-shattering. No.
Bowling alley?
For a little bit.
How about you, Jim? Were you up?
Were you awake? Yeah,
Jim, did you make it
when the ball dropped?
His balls dropped 45, 50 years ago.
I can't remember that.
Are you sure?
More than 2 days ago.
I
must not have done anything exciting.
Jim's kind of that age of like Dan Retajczyk is. I mean, they both could be nicknamed Tits Up 10:30. The way they go to bed.
Yeah, I think Jim goes to bed early, kind of, but it's like he's got his phone on all the time, you know, because we'll get random. I'll get random texts, or he'll text me, hey, are you up?
Well, when you get to be his age, you get up every 2 hours to pee.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyhow, yeah, so we all had a good New Year's. So anything left over from last year you want to talk about? I had a couple things just real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
One, I wanted to point out the ad that we ran in Speedway Illustrated in the December issue of Speedway Illustrated. I thought this was a good idea. You know, until we had 1,000 racers at Super Nationals?
Yeah.
until you actually like put them all on a list on a piece of paper, it's really, you know, 1,000 seems like a lot, but it really seems like a whole lot when you do something like this. So we ran an ad in the news in the Speedway Illustrated, just thanking everybody that came to the Super Nationals. And so if you were there and we had you signed in and you participated, your name is in this ad. So I didn't know if everybody, you know, we give a free, Speedway Illustrated gives a free subscription to IMCA Racers every year as part of a deal we have with them. So they ran this ad. I thought it was a really good idea. They thought it was a pretty cool idea. I don't know if Jim had that idea or who had that idea, but
Carson,
maybe, yeah. Everybody who competed at the 2022 Super Nationals last year, we put them in our thank you, you know, whether you won the race or whether you couldn't get out of a heat race, whatever it may have been, or whether you blew your engine up or broke or whatever, you're in here.
Flipped over.
So that's in the December issue, which, you know, I mean, I always get that newsletter stuff confusing. Sometimes the December issues are in, like, October. But this was the December issue.
Yes.
And I've had it for a few weeks, but I don't think I had it before our last podcast. So I just wanted to mention that because I thought it was cool.
I thought it was cool that my Speedway Illustrated and newsletter came at the same time this month.
Wow.
That's a lot of reading for you.
Oh, it is.
Hopefully there were more pictures than normal.
Well, there was always pictures. I just look at the pictures. Now, Playboy's for the articles.
Nice. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, we did have one. And I'm going to do this during the podcast because we'll do this drawing during the podcast. We had one of our contingencies that we hadn't issued from last year, and that is from Eibach, the spring company. They do a fire suit to a drawing for an Eibach fire suit at the end of the year. And to be eligible, you have to be a first-time state champion in IMCA racing. First-time, not a first-time in a division, but first-time total because we have some guys that were first-time champs. In other divisions, and then they're a first-time champ, let's say, from Sport Compact to Hobby Stock or Hobby Stock to Stock Car. This is a first-time state champion ever. And I counted them, I think there were 76, forgive me if I'm wrong on that, but there's 76 names, and I'm going to just cut them up and put them in, I'm going to put them in this Crown Royal box.
Compliments of Performance Bodies and
Performance
Parts.
Yeah, they sent me a bottle of Crown this year, and actually it was last week.
Oh, hang on a minute, can you hold that up again?
Sure.
I wonder if they got any of those left.
I think they do. I usually get one every year for Christmas, but I hadn't got one for a few years. I must have been doing something wrong, I figured. So, but I got one last week. I talked to Alec at Performance about some stuff, and he sent me I thought that was nice of him to send me a bottle of Crown.
It's the big bottle. I mean, it's not the little guy.
We're doing this at Monday morning at 10 a.m., this podcast, and this bottle of Crown lasted through the weekend.
What?
Yeah. Did you drink it over the weekend?
Some.
So it lasted.
We started drinking Friday afternoon before we closed.
So you said it lasted, so that means there's still some left.
There's still some left at my house.
Why is it?
You got through a cowboy loss.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't go out and like storm the neighborhood.
I'm not one of those crazy fans that paint their faces and, you know.
I thought they were really going to pull it off with that last play.
I thought the game was close enough to where they had a shot to win it, and they kept saying for, what, all week that this was a legacy-building moment for Dak Prescott. Well, how'd that work out, Dak?
Pretty awesome.
Not so well.
Get to the point where you're putting the kicker's hands, and you'd have to feel good about it.
Ain't that the truth?
But that was our first road win in the playoffs in 30 years. It was 92 as our last road win in the playoffs, which just is baffling.
People make fun of the Cowboys.
Because it's so fun to do.
But, you know, it's not so like the Vikings or the Packers are any better this year. So they're like, what, top 8 team in the league? There's a lot of really good teams left.
There is. I mean, the Niners are in.
The Bengals.
Still.
The Bengals-Bills game.
The Bengals beat the Bills in the snow.
They beat the crap
out of them. That wasn't even a good game. Oh, I thought it was going to be good.
No.
They beat the crap out of them, but it's fun to watch.
I like when it snows during the game. They have to go out there and clean the field off. And
snow blowers.
Yeah. So I'm gonna cut these names up as we're talking about other subjects. I did that before one other time for heat race winter decals.
Stickers.
Yeah. Just make sure and don't cut your finger.
Yeah, have you ever done that? I've actually cut the webbing of your.
I think we talked about that once time. I've got
that hurts like hell.
The worst is when you get it between your thumb here.
Look at the first name on this list: Mike Albertson, stock car.
Woohoo! Iowa. He was the stock car state champion.
Woohoo!
Yeah. No way,
old Wahoo. I mean,
I think that's where he'd say like fudge or
even a blind squirrel will find a nut. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
He sold, he got to go to Cocopah because he so finally sold all his cows.
He was in Cocopah. Yes, he was. And I'm going to put these all in there. Ryan, you're gonna pull them out because you're going to pull one out. If Shelby Alves, which, interestingly enough, there's a car right there from the banquet.
Yeah.
Our ladies' Eagle winner of the year.
Now a new promoter.
Now a promoter of, is it Interstate?
Yes, Interstate. It's back to what it originally was, Interstate Speedway.
So I'm just going to cut them up. I'm not going to read all 76 names. If some, there's some on here that I know very well and some of them that I don't, but all of them, obviously, all their names are going to be in this drawing. It'd be better. The odds will be better than winning the Powerball that was like $1.5 billion last week or whatever it was.
Ooh, what's the next name you're cutting?
Camden Barnett, hobby stock from Utah. What would you do if you won $1.5 billion? You ever think about that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Whatever I wanted.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much.
I don't know. I'd travel.
I'd buy something.
Yeah, wouldn't we all, I think.
I've always said, here's the deal. Wouldn't your buddy's like, would you give me some money if you won? Would you give me some money? No, I've always said if I ever won the big money on the lottery, my immediate family, I'm going to pay off their debt. Not going to buy you a car. Right. Not going to buy you a house. I will pay your debt. So that way you now get to start debt-free. Like if Jason come up and said, man, you won the lottery. You got to buy. Give me your debt. And then I'll write him a check.
You'd buy him a new stock car.
But yeah, well, no, because he'd be on Facebook complaining about how he can't this and can't that. And at least he finally did something funny. Went snowmobiling for a change. Hey,
what happened the last time he went snowmobiling, though?
I had a heart attack.
if you went
in the mountains.
Do you have a snowmobile?
Who was that? Who had the heart attack?
My brother did. Jason. Snowmobiling?
Well, at least he fared better than Ken Block.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ken Block got killed on a snowmobile accident. Yeah. He's a stud, too. Ken Block is some cool shit.
If you won the lottery, maybe Jason wouldn't have to keep buying motors at auctions.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he'd still do it because he collects them.
Everybody Brandon Bombardo. Brandon Bombardo.
He's from Minnesota.
He's from Minnesota.
Was he racing Cocopah?
Yeah, he was.
Did he win down there?
Yeah, he won.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Congratulations.
There again, every blind squirrel finds a nut.
He won twice.
He won twice
down there. That's why I recognize him. Hobby stock. I don't know if I've met him in person.
The hobby stock races down there were pretty dang awesome.
Sarneski from Cole. From
Cole Sarneski. Cole.
Did I say that right?
Yep.
Did I say Sarneski? Yeah, that's just. Forgive me if I say it wrong.
Holy cow.
What is that?
Jim, you're younger and much better looking.
Holy cow, Jim. You,
holy
we're being Zoom bombed.
Jim, what happened? You got a gap in your teeth and a beard.
That's how long you've been talking, Jerry.
So as I cut these up, let's talk about Cocopah a little bit. Since we've already mentioned Mike Wahoo. He won some races down there, didn't he?
Yeah, he won the Wednesday.
Bombardo won some races down there.
Shelby Williams,
Jim Horsch,
yes.
Ethan Dotson,
Colin Hibden,
Tim Ward,
Gregory Merhead,
Kyle Frederick, Stock Car Wisconsin. He's like one of those Stock Car guys.
That dude wins everything, but he's never won a state. This is his first state title.
I thought this was fake. I'm like, come on.
I would have thought as much as that guy.
He's
won.
In the top four, I think, every time I've went to Wisconsin in the stock car
top
class.
Top two.
He's always up front, and I think I told him that at Super Nationals this year. He was at Super Nationals. I remember having a conversation with him. A lot of good racers in Wisconsin. But anyhow, so back to Cocopah. Did we talk about the winners?
We started.
200, what, 250, 230, something like that, over the course of each night?
I
don't know what the average was.
The average was probably right around 235, if I had to take a guess.
Yeah, I saw a lot of 230 numbers when I was looking on MRP. I watched a few of the videos. I watched a little bit of the racing.
Yeah, you texted me.
So the
racing was fantastic. Quit
talking so much.
Racing was awesome.
I'm kind of impartial. I tend to think that IMCA racing can be pretty damn awesome, to be quite honest. I think we got a good set of rules and a lot of talent racing in IMCA that at times I don't think the racers get enough credit for. Not from us, at least, from other people. But
Dylan Thornton won two stock cars.
I don't think anybody won more than twice, did they? I think it was pretty well evenly spread across the...
You know, I love when people talk about IMCA racers. You know what I mean? So, oh boy, I could really go off, but I'm not, because it's the newer,
kinder, gentler. Oh, that's right. There's the newer, kinder, gentler Jim.
That's me. But,
hey, you know, remember that driver's meeting you had that one night?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it.
People and their dogs.
Jim has candid driver's meetings. I tend to have long driver's meetings.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I, after about day two of driver's meetings at Kokopah, I was kind of hoping you were going to show up.
Me?
Did Jim do the driver's meetings?
I looked at where Kokopah. I looked at where
mine was short and sweet.
I looked at where Yuma was on the map, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's a long ways from Vinton."
Yeah. Well, I mean, all you got to do is go to Cedar Rapids, get on a plane.
I know.
Now, come on, Brett. Hey, we all know that the working man needs a vacation once in a while.
That's why he doesn't go very far.
There's no better place for a working man to take a vacation
than Vegas,
than Yuma.
Yuma, ding dong.
You know, Vegas isn't a working man's town, Brett. Like you're saying, it's so damn expensive to gamble. Expensive. You know, you go to Kokopah, that's more of a working man's deal.
The last year, it hasn't really been much of a working man's town anymore.
Well, there must not be a lot of people working anymore. That's all I can think of.
Jake Sackow, Northern Sport Mod. Again, a guy who wins a lot of races.
I think he's working.
He's driving truck. He's a truck driver.
Just like he won the Boone Points last year.
Yeah,
that's what got him. Yeah, he had a good year.
I had read. I thought I saw a comment where if Jake Sackow would have raced Webster City and Fort Dodge instead of Marshalltown and Boone or whatever it was, he'd have won $3 million instead of IMCA's paltry little point fund.
He also only would have raced against three cars.
Yeah, that's what made me laugh, Jim. I'm like, where's the rest of the story?
Wait, look at Ryan and Jerry.
They know we're getting off the rails.
Here we go.
The podcast is getting off the rails. And
Rudy
and
said go. Ryan, I'm going to say one thing about people bashing IMCA racers. Here we go. First of all, I'm going to tell you what.
What?
I will put our racers up against any racers in the whole goddamn country. Not only with talent, but their passion, their sacrifice. These aren't no dedication. Average Joes. These aren't no goddamn prima donnas who drive around in big ass trucks and do just not average Joes. Let's put it like that. These guys love to race. I mean, look at Yuma. We had such a great field of racers, and yeah, you can talk bad about IMCA racers, but you know, I think Kenny Schrader's won a race or two, and wasn't he at Yuma?
Yep.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm.
Kenny Wallace was there.
Matt Crafton was there.
Bobby Labonte was there. Hey, and I'm going to tell you what. Talking to Bobby Labonte, after he was nervous going into that deal because he'd never raced anything dirt. He never raced dirt.
Crazy.
He made the comment, "I am in love with these stock cars. This IMCA stock car is amazing. I'm back next year. I'm going to race one of these again."
I won't ever forget the comment that Schrader told me when I was at 141. I think it was 2 years ago, where he said, "Man, I just love these damn stock cars you guys got." He said, "It's like watching Daytona every time I show up to a track, and every time you got IMCA stock cars, it's like watching Daytona every single time they race. They're so competitive." I'm like, "Yeah, you know, he's right. They are." And I think that's one of the reasons why stock car racing is so stout across the country anymore. It's got a lot of momentum right now. Do we have that Velveeta? Speaking of Kokopah and stock cars, and I don't know if you want to necessarily say Daytona or not, but the competitiveness of it. Do you have that clip of that crash, Nate? Why don't you pull that up?
Yeah, that was a nasty. That was a nasty crash.
We were talking about Wahoo a little bit, so I said, Nate, pull up that crash. Whoa! Yeah, that one was on his nose. That was a compact.
And out of that whole deal, there was only two cars that really couldn't return.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing of it was, is like the Baca car, they were Galler was the only one that was really parked for the weekend.
It's interesting to watch how this transpires, you know, how it plays out. Because we all saw this. Jim, you guys were down there.
It's 87 long.
Yep.
We saw this stuff play out. You watch it on video and you watch the carnage that takes place. And people we all have our opinion on how this stuff develops. But one of the things I wanted to comment in particular is just how fast obviously these guys are going. I don't think video really does justice at times They are going very fast and making calls on how this stuff happens. Everybody's like, "Oh, it's this guy's fault. It's that guy's fault." What's nice about the video from our standpoint, at least, is we can go back and look and see, okay, who really was, how did this happen? And that stock car wreck was interesting because I thought, you know, people were really dogging on Kurt Lund, I think, for a few days, maybe the whole week over that whole situation. And I watched it. I didn't think Kurt Lund necessarily caused that or was the person who started it. I mean, I think Kurt Lund gets clipped here a little bit by, I think it's Wahoo that clips him just a little as he comes down across the track, and it turns him into this, is that seven car? I don't know, who's the seven?
That's
the
714 of Rick Diaz. Well, yeah.
It turns him into a little bit, and at that point, shit starts happening really fast, and these guys are racing. Watch Wahoo. Is that Wahoo right there?
That's Wahoo there.
Watch. Lund squeezes him, so who's at fault here?
No, well, right here is where everything goes shitty. Because he gets in there and he gets into the back of Jim Horsch, and then he's got to pedal out of the throttle
a little, and then there's a little. Albertson's getting squeezed, and then boom, right there, he just touches Lund enough to where Lund starts to turn, and that place is slick. You know, I mean, they're going pretty fast at that point. Diaz corrects him, and then it's like, look at Diaz turn to the left. It's not like, I think at that point, it's just shit starts happening. And
correct.
And then at that point, it's just a mess. But,
you know, to me, somebody got Peyton Taylored in the deal. And trying to figure out who did it is is tough to do.
Peyton Taylored.
But that's what we refer to it as, getting Peyton Taylored.
Yeah, I just thought that was a really interesting, you know, I hate to see people tear their stuff up. That was like the first night of racing.
That was the first night.
Yeah, first night of racing. But some brand new race cars got tore up.
To the last night.
Yeah. I mean, what was crazy, though, is there were guys, I mean, like Shelby Williams, they stayed up all night working on, I mean, they didn't.
Well, they're committed at that point. They're clear down there.
That's like everybody says, this guy's going to go home, and, well, we're going to lose 15 stock cars. I'm like, they've brought everything.
Racers are resilient, you know.
I think there were three of them at the frame shop.
Yeah, I mean, that next morning, they were at I can't remember where they took him. It was a racer there in Yuma.
He just opened up his shop.
Yeah, says, get in here. We're going to fix it up.
Yeah, that's when racing really, you know, it shows the resilience when guys fix their stuff, you know, their dedication to it. Yeah, some of them could probably have packed up and went home. I don't know if anybody did. But, you know, when you look at a situation like that, and then you have other racers reach out and offer them to help them and loan them parts or sell them stuff or use their shop, or there's just all kinds of things that were to me, those scenarios are one of the reasons why I think racing is so authentic, and those of us that are in it are so passionate about it. You know, we're willing to help.
Correct.
Racers are willing to help other racers. You know, at least most of the time, unless you claim their engine or shocks or something, they may not want to help you, but, you know.
Well, it costs you more.
At the end of the day, you know, we all are people, and we have something in common when we're at the races. And so, you know, bad situations can be, even if the racers are mad at each other that are involved, you know, bad situations sometimes in those actually bring the good out of people.
Do we have any video on Cam's deal?
I think we do. I think we put up the Cam Reimers. I think Nate was going to pull the Cam Reimers crash out too, because that's another one.
I think that's scary in a hurry.
He stopped quick.
Pretty interesting. You know, that's a pretty wild ride right there, and that's extremely abrupt on its side, top first into fence posts and fencing. That's a scary moment.
Yeah,
you know, those are the situations that we as a sanctioning body do take very serious. And Cam actually did a video on his Facebook page. I watched it. I didn't reach out to Cam. I've talked to him a lot, but I didn't reach out to him. And I watched the video and his explanation on the window net, because that sheared the water, that sheared the fuel pump off the car, and leaking fuel. And it also bent the latching mechanism for his window net. So he's got a pretty good video explaining it all on his Facebook page. If you're Cam Reimers,
you know, once again, the good thing is all the drivers walked away. All the drivers are fine. But, you know, it's just, boy, it's unfortunate to see stuff like this. You know what I mean? Especially early in the year, especially to a guy like Cam. I mean,
tearing up new race
cars. Honestly, do we have a nicer racer than Cam?
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
well spoken, presents himself very well. His car always look nice, and he's not one of those that goes out.
Just another one of them IMCA racers.
He's not one of the ones you're going to see fist fighting in the infield 99.9% of the time.
You know, there's a kid that started off racing quads, and then they went and raced the, I mean, they went professional pro truck racing.
Yep.
And then.
How long has he been in a sport mod? Has it been that long, has it?
5 years, I think long? Now, 6 years maybe. You know, he ran places like Crandon and, you know, I mean, he ran the big events.
Yep.
And then was fortunate enough that, you know, those corporate sponsors have trickled, you know, come to his program. And, you know, some of those sponsors are products we use every day. So it's just a new era. Who's the last one you cut out?
This one makes me laugh. I saved this one out just because it makes me laugh. I'm going to put it in there. Mike Smith, and it says in parentheses, the one from Lake City. Like, yeah, we have
a few
Mike Smiths in IMCA.
The one from
successful one as well, you know, so we kind of chuckle. But back to those crashes, I mean, people ask us, you know, from how to officiate that stuff when it's happening, what the track should make for decisions, and then into particularly the safety rules, which are tested in both of those crashes. The Reimers one is interesting to me because it bent his lash and he couldn't get out of the car. And people say, oh, we should change that rule. I had a couple of people reach out to me, and I'm like, you know, I mean, in most of these circumstances, we can't write rules that are going to cover every single crash in IMCA. We see some very violent ones. We see some wild ones. Yeah. You know, we had one at Super Nationals where the fuel cell flew out of the car and landed in the interior of the
car behind him on fire.
Yeah. I mean, how would you ever write rules necessarily to prevent all of those circumstances with as violent as the crashes can be? But our safety record is really good. We're proud of that. We do our best to try to be at the forefront on some of that and at least educate our racers as best we possibly can on what their options are. And, you know, a guy like Cam and Kurt Lund and some of those guys in that stock car crash, you know, they have the freedom to choose what safety equipment fits their needs and their best budget. And I think 99% of the times our racers do that. But the latch on the Reimers one where, you know, we mandated at the top, at the front, I think, you know, we've got different ways you can, you know, when I raced, I had a seatbelt welded to the end of a pole. And you just clipped it in. And now you see guys that have the spring-loaded ones or you see the NASCAR ones where they've got like a lock lever almost like a seatbelt. So there's different ways it can be done. But you get into situations like that, and we've had one incident that I remember where a car got upside down, and it was after we allowed aluminum roofs on modifieds. The car got upside down, and the roll was so violent, it wrapped the aluminum roof around the latching mechanism on the window net as well. So it worked. It wasn't bent. It wasn't, but the aluminum was so wrapped around the latch, a guy couldn't get it unlatched. So people say, I'll put it at the bottom, you know, put it here, put it there.
Paul Berger put a video on Facebook about how he mounts his and, you know, once again, it just, you know, we hate to see stuff like that, but unfortunately it happens. And all we can try to do is make sure we stay on top of safety rules. I mean, and
you look at those racks and then, you know, you look at what happened to the Chili Bowl. I mean, do you think that in modern day era, you'd see somebody come out of a car with all the safety equipment?
Well, I'm not even going to comment on that.
No comment.
I'll let you comment on that.
No, I'm just saying. I mean,
on your behalf.
No, I mean, it just.
We all have our opinions. So I'll put it that way.
Like I said, it just makes us all think about safety items.
Correct. And so speaking of which then, so this will work well. You got our. Please don't get offended that we're drawing for safety equipment out of an alcohol bottle, but you know.
Oh my God! Goddamn IMCA! You sell beer at the pits at Super Nationals. What the hell?
So we're gonna draw for the Eibach driving suit. I put all those names in there. I mentioned a few of them. There's like 76 in there. Ryan's gonna pull in and pull one out.
I'll be to blame.
Yeah, we'll reach out to the winning racer.
You're the most legit person. Yeah, you're going to be at blame.
We'll reach out to the winning racer. That person will have to get measurements and get that information off the Eibach, and we'll try to work through Carson to get that stuff accomplished.
And one thing we're not going to do is give you 5 minutes to reach us to claim your prize.
No.
So this is all first-time state champions, right?
Yep, just grab one out of there.
If I accidentally grab two, do they all go back in?
Peyton Taylor.
Who won it?
It's a sport mod driver.
Cam Reimers?
No, from Oregon. Matthew Sanders.
I met that kid from Oregon. Hey, they've got a seven. Well, congratulations to Matthew Sanders on two things. One, winning the Northern Sport Mod Oregon State Championship for the first time.
Yep.
Last year in 2022. And also, congratulations on your new driving suit. So we'll reach out to Matthew and try to get those details to him, how he can get that prize claimed and get his driving suit fitted.
And once again, thank you to the
he'll be dressed in red. Hope red is his favorite color.
Yeah, like you know, one other thing before we move on to upcoming events. You know, I just want to touch on one thing about Kokopah. And, you know, Brad Whitfield and his staff did an outstanding job.
Announcer.
Those races.
No, well, Bill was great. Bill did a fabulous job.
I mean, those races were done by 9:30 out there, you know, and the track was good. Everything ran smooth. I mean, he's got a small but mighty crew, and I think, you know, also got to thank Grant for making the trip down there and helping out with it. And you know, once again, Grant did a fantastic job. You know, it's not easy. You have 240 cars and Jerry you got to corral to try to keep the show moving.
And be Jim's chauffeur.
Yeah, Grant was my chauffeur. I replaced Jerry.
Yeah, wrapping as far as, you know, Kokopah goes and the Winter Nationals and wrapping all that up for this year. I mean, it's Kokopah is, you know, it puts on good racing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's well attended. It's probably about one of the only places in the United States where you can have outdoor racing where it's halfway reasonably warm.
Oh, I mean,
and even down there, I think it was chilly in the evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, it was hoodie chilly.
Yeah,
I mean, throw a hoodie on.
There's
and
no
you were
snow,
fine.
At least.
Yeah.
Blizzard conditions like we were having up here in Iowa. So it's just been a good addition for our January racing to where we really didn't have much racing in January prior to Yuma.
A good way to kick off the year.
It is a good way to kick off the year. There's a lot of positives that can be drawn out of it, you know. And we don't want to focus too much on the race on the wrecks that happened because there were many of them.
Fantastic racing.
But the racing was good. You know, and for all the racers who made the trip down there from long distances or even short distances, we definitely want to thank them for
the show moved along good with
yep,
Jerry
you guys did.
And Rowdy. We were able to conquer both of them.
Yep. What else?
Second week was so much easier, though.
No Jim, right?
Yeah, exactly. Super Day was there.
Yeah, Super Day.
What else do we want to talk about? We want to talk about upcoming specials?
Let's do it.
We got a special guest on. Has he been listening the whole time?
I think so.
He's probably sleeping right now.
You have been.
Oh, boy.
Look at that guy.
How have you been quiet?
Well, I didn't know my microphone was working, so I would have known that. I would probably chime in a little bit more.
That explains it.
I do want to say something to what Jim had said about people talking about IMCA racing and racers in general. I'm friends with a lot of people that run different sanctions, and they give me – a little bit of bull crap every now and then. But most of the time, they're just doing it to do it. Most of them aren't really serious. But the ones that are, I just invite them to come get some. You know, if it's that easy, come put it on us, you know. And usually they'll borrow a car and they'll go out there and they'll have a hub come loose. They'll have an excuse by the end of the night why they didn't leave with the hardware. So you know, I just want to say y'all's doing what a sanction does, and I'm glad to kind of be a part of it. So
you know, people bash us, but hey, here's $300 if you come to our track.
Ah. Look at all this chocolate.
Fudge. So let's I'm kind of disappointed. Can we get it like
what are you disappointed for this time?
On Peyton's deal, because I want to request before this interview. I won't make it now. Let's talk about the clash on the coast. You know, that's why we got Peyton on. Tell us how this idea come about for you.
Well, we went down. We was actually going to the Lone Star Stock Car Tour last year, and it got snowed out, and we was all wanting to race, and my daughter's boyfriend follows that Hunt the Front bunch. And he said, man, there's Winter Nationals down at Southern Raceway this weekend if y'all want to go. I was like, man, I just want to race. And I knew they was an IMCA-sanctioned track. So we kind of looked at the mileage, and it wasn't really I mean, it's like an hour further for us to go that way. So we went there and wound up meeting a lot of cool people, really nice folks down there. Track owners was great. And we wound up winning the heats, features, and we had a good time. You know, went and ate down there on the beach during the day before the Saturday show. And just kind of, it was nice to be in Florida and see that type of weather. And just once you cross the Florida line, everybody's smiling anyway. So it was something that when we left, I we're driving back home. I looked at my wife and she goes, I said, I think we need to have a speed week down here. You know, we need to look, see what other tracks could be involved. And she instantly looked at me like I was on drugs. So I was like, well, I'm serious. I think this would be something good, but we got to do it with the right ingredients, you know. And so I reached out to Brett, and I think I reached out to Brett first, and I may have reached out to Jim later on. But I just told him, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to pick a couple tracks down there, and I told him I can't do it without IMCA TV, without IMCA, Brett, Jim, and Dave. You know, they legitimize an event, and then Brett went ahead and made it a sanctioned event. Everything's kind of come together. Unbelievable. This is my first promoting venture, but I've been in racing since I was 8 years old with Larry and Mom and Mooney at Batesville. Mooney had the Mars Racing Series, and I've been an official, and I've been on about every side of the racing platform other than the promotion side, like solely me and my wife. So I'm really excited about it. It's something that, you know, what I want to do, I want to bring new revenue in for the racetracks. I want to build IMCA in Florida. I want the racers to come in and have an event they can race at and feel like if they sneeze, they don't get charged for it. You know, we go off to some of these places in Tennessee, and I'm not going to name other places, but
Bristol.
Yeah. Well, you said it. I mean, there's certain deals. Like, I know what we spent going there, and you know, the average racer cannot do that, you know? So I'm trying to put all this money in the back of the purse. That's one reason I didn't pay. I could have paid $5,000 to win each night if I wanted to, but it's more important for me for the racer and his wife and kids or his girlfriend or his wife and his girlfriend want to come and bring them down, and you know, they can spend a week of racing and leave and not feel like they're done for the next 3 weeks. You know, they still got enough money to clean their car and go back and race the weekly show the next week.
So give us dates again on that, just so everybody, just for those who are listening that don't know them.
We'll be February 26th. We will practice at Northwest Florida Speedway in Baker, Florida. We'll practice. That will be the only practice that Sunday night. Then we'll race Monday, Tuesday there. Then Wednesday we're going to take off just so you can go eat seafood, take a beach day with your wife and kids, go fishing, shopping, whatever you want to do. Just kind of explore that community down there in that area because it's so pretty during that time of year. And then we'll come back Thursday, which would be March 2nd, and we will practice at Southern Raceway in Milton, Florida. Then we'll race Friday, Saturday, concluding the four-day race event. And we will crown a champion for the IMCA Modifieds that will pay $2,500 for the point fund winner over that week-long period. Granted, I'm doing something a little different. I'm paying over a $10,000 point fund for these racers that come down and support me all week, which will pay 20 spots. In my opinion, there ain't nobody in the country doing that on a four-night event. And that is merely to help the racer get there, get back, go buy them lunch or whatever. But I do want to say real quick while I got you on here, I'm going to do a little plug here. I want to thank IMCA TV for being the presenting sponsor. I'm excited about getting this event out on a coast-to-coast platform where the streaming's great. We've got Jerry. Jerry's going to do a good job announcing. I know that going in. He don't have no confidence issues. We know that. But we've got Dynamic Drivelines come on board. K&P, the Presleys out of Little Rock come on board. We got Murphy Oil Company. Weir's has come in with gift certificates. Fast Chef's come in with product and gift certificates. Brad at Velocita is doing some championship suits, gloves, shoes, helmets. Performance Body, Alex Scott and the guys are coming through with gift certificates. Whoa, got an entry. Right here's something that's really – hey, would y'all shut up? I'm trying to do something over here.
It's all right. We got that problem here, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just tell – hey, we saw Babe walk through. Just tell her to get the dogs under control like she does.
There you go. Well, this is something really cool. So this Landon Milkey and his company, Race Wrap Express, has come on board for the hard charger of the event. Gets $150 for the guy that advances the most positions, which I think is – really cool, because you don't see a $150 hard charger award a lot. So I want to thank him. We've got Shaw Race Cars. And then Colin Thurlby Racing. Works. Hang on just a second.
Go. You got to go outside.
All right. Well, yeah. So Colin Thurlby Racing is also going to throw $200 at something. We're not sure what yet. But and I've still not answered all of our emails, but we've got a lot of great company supporting us, and it just seems to keep growing every day. I've got somebody reaching out wanting to do something.
Yeah, your entry list was growing last time we talked, and it sounds like
we're knocking on 40 right now, and we've got right at 12 states represented. I've got verbal commitment from Nebraska, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and like that's what's crazy. Like, I don't follow where all the IMCA tracks are, but like, I've got entries out of Ohio, Illinois, you know. So it's neat to see people that's committed in places. Like the only track that I knew about in Illinois, I think, was East Moline.
Right.
Yep.
And we've got a couple guys coming from there, you know. So we've got Wisconsin, Minnesota. But it's – these people just want to race. Like they want to race and they don't want to be – I mean, it's going to be probably 8 inches of snow within places. So they don't have really no choice. So we're excited to have everybody, and it just keeps gaining momentum. The only thing that I can tell you is make sure you bring some SPF and some flip-flops, because I was down there grinding tires last year in flip-flops. So it's the weather's unreal down there. The people's friendly.
So you've got everything covered. We've got good purses. You've got a great point fund. You've got the structure right. You've got it's in an area that's going to be accommodating to weather wise. You know, it's a fun place to go. The Panhandle of Florida is a fun place to go. I've vacationed there a couple times in the last few years with my wife. It's a really pretty area. You know, and
heard a rumor.
Who wouldn't want to get out of the cold weather up here? But you forgot the best part. Sorry not to let you in, Jim, but you forgot the best part, Peyton, and that's the trophies. I still think that's the coolest thing.
Well, I'm really excited about that. I was planning not supposed on to bring that up? Wrapped. No, you're good. You're good. I was actually going to release it today, but when they come out, they're really going to be sick. But
very cool. So we're
going to get better.
We got one of the nightlies done, and they are going to be skim boards. And I was going to do a release today, but we had a little hiccup with the wrap, so we're having to back up and punt. But we're going to have our championship winner will be awarded a 6.5-foot long surfboard. And it is probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life, the wrap. New Vision Graphic did the logo, and they're doing the wrap. And I can't think of anybody that has a surfboard or a skimboard on their wall as a trophy, but He has knocked it clean out of the ballpark.
It's a great idea.
One question.
Yes, sir.
So with this surfboard, is there any chance we can get Tracy Clay surfing on it before you hand it out?
Hey, I would love to see it. I don't know if we can get her fully committed, but.
Well, I think we can.
She's got a lot of free time now. She should be able to do that.
Unfortunately.
Well, yeah. It's funny.
Let's start the campaign. We want to see Tracy surf.
There you go. Well, it's funny you mentioned Tracy. She's had a big part. She's been a big part of my life ever since I was about 4 years old. They used to hide me under a pillow to get me in the racetrack there back in the day when my dad raced there.
So you're saying Tracy's that much older than you?
I did not say that.
I just want this on record. You said it.
But
I personally always thought Tracy was a lot younger than you.
Well, here we go. Now we're trying to get that brownie points coming in here. Another thing I'm doing different. So I want to take this event back to something similar, you know, like it was in the 80s and the 90s. So we're doing the Grand Marshals at our event this year. So night one at Baker in Northwest Florida Speedway, Larry Shaw will be bringing us to green up there on the flag stand. He'll be there all week. He'll be doing autographs. He's got some shirts. We'll have a table set up for him. So we're thankful to have Hall of Famer Larry Shaw there for that night one. Night two, I can't ever seem to get a hold of her, but we will be having Tracy Clay up there throwing the green flag for night two at Baker. So there's no telling what you're going to get when you get her and Larry in the same two nights. We're still working on night three and four, but happy to have all of them involved. We've got Comp Cams race promoting it for us. They do a great job with their local series, their regional series. So it just seemed like a fitting thing for us to do. Another thing that I want to push real quick while I've got you on here is, and Brett, I think it's Brett or Jim talked a little bit about how early they got the event over in Cocopah. Was it 9:30?
Yep.
Roughly,
yeah.
And they run a lot of cars, so it's hard to run a show that good. And them guys did a heck of a job out there promoting that thing. But we're only having three divisions, so I really shoot to be over by 9:30 or 10 each night, and it just everything flows so much better. You know, people can get up and go to work the next day and not feel groggy or, you know. And if you get it over and you're on a good show, they want to rent it the next night. So, I think that's one of the major things,
Are they on Pacific time out there? Or are they on Central time? Not Pacific. Sorry.
They're Central.
Eastern.
Eastern.
Are they? No,
they're Central. Well, Pensacola and Milton in that area is Central.
Okay. Oh,
when you go on over further east, it gets Eastern, I think, maybe.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, that'll be important from the broadcast standpoint, too, as well, so everybody knows exactly what time to tune in. It's all on the same time zone for the Central, for the most part.
I think one of the cool things about our event is, I'm just tickled to death to be involved in IMCA getting back to Florida. That's a big move for me and my family and the Clash on the Coast because – I know y'all was there, I think 23 years ago, IMCA was there, and it was a great event. Like Mark Norris still talks about that event to this day. And he said, man, I never thought IMCA would go back to Florida. And I said, we're gonna make it happen. And so these racers from all over can still have a speed week in Florida. But when they cross the line in Alabama into Florida, they're 25 minutes from a racetrack. They don't still have 7 hours to drive all the way to Tampa, and it's 7 hours to drive back. So it gets us in Florida. It gives us a good speed week at two great tracks, and it eliminates about 14 hours out of the trip if you was going to do the other trip.
Sure. Yeah, we've had that Milton area. We've had a presence there on and off for much of the last 3 decades.
And,
you know,
and Tom's done a very, very good job down there, sticking with it and building the IMCA class. I mean, I remember 5-6 years ago going down there and spending, you know, 4 or 5 days with Tom and just driving around to racer shops. And
he's wanted to do
him
a race like this.
Yep. He talked about it back then. And, you know, you got Scott at Northwest Florida that's been with us, been, you know, he's a racer. He raced Super Nationals a couple of years ago. And, you know, once again, they have done a good job, you know, sticking with it and continuing. It just keeps growing. I think this is going to be another shot in the arm for all the modified IMCA modified racing down there.
Well, they have been a joy to work with. We've all been communicating exceptionally well. Everybody's working together great. And I got with the chamber the other day. We've got a lot of good stuff that they're going to do for us. They're making some packets for all the racers and everything, some welcome packets with discounts and all that, and maps on stuff to do while you're down there. So just getting a lot of involvement from everybody and just couldn't be happier on how everything's going. I had asked Brett his opinion on qualifying, and he wasn't – Well, that you said you did. You like passing points?
I don't personally. I particularly don't care for passing points because I don't.
That's what it was.
I don't necessarily think that they change much. You know, they just they complicate things a little bit. At the end of the day, they don't necessarily change the outcomes of the races all that much. Now, you can, if you have the right passing point format where you aren't pulling guys who win in heat races, for example, out of, and making them run a B, I'm a little bit less resistant to it. But, you know, to me, it's still based on the draw, you know, and everything right. starts off the draw. You know, and in our world, the draw, just our biggest shows have been draw-redraw formats for so long that I'm kind of impartial to it, but I don't mind passing points. We allow it at IMCA. We allow time trials at IMCA. We allow a variety of different lineup procedures to take place, and you're free to pick whatever you think works best for that event, and we're going to support it. All the race cars are going to be following our rules too. So
that's right.
That's what matters to us.
That was a big part, making sure y'all was involved, because I just think when Dave gets there, you know, people know that when he's there, and then they've got their local tech people also that will be there assisting Dave. But you was talking about the draw redraw deal. I'm a racer, so I wanted to try and figure out the best platform that gives everybody a level playing field. So what I've decided to go with is we'll just draw for heats, and then we'll take top three, transfer to the A main. But your heat winners, your second place, and your third place will all redraw. That way, if you run third in a sixth heat, you got a chance at starting 13th. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm doing something a little bit different also. So if just say there's 100 peels in there and you draw 59 or 85 the first night, and you're buried in the back, the next night you'll draw in the 49 and under box. That way you get a good shot at both tracks at qualifying up front. So, or at least starting up front. If qualifying depends on how hooked you are, but you got a chance at finishing up front in the heat. You know, you're not going to get buried with a last row starting spot every night.
Yeah, the draw is so important. There's so much perception with it, and there's so much, I don't know, what's the luck of the draw? There's so much superstition to it. There's a lot of things that racers get caught up with the draw. So it's nice, you know, whenever you have a system that kind of softens some of that, it's not a bad thing. You know, everybody wants a fair shot at the end of the day, you know, to win the race, to win a heat race, to get qualified for features, to get into that top 20 for the point fund. I mean, that's what's going to draw cars down there. That's going to draw volumes of cars down there. So I think you're doing the right things, Peyton. I do. Yep. I think it's a great idea from the onset. We've talked about this. I think you've covered all your bases. I think you've got a great personality to be a promoter. You're easy to talk to and you're hard not to like.
Thank God you got a good personality.
And you're putting up awesome looks trophies.
A little bit short on, but.
Plus, he can dance. I wanted to bring this up. He does the best Carlton Banks I've ever seen. You call that the Carlton
show
Banks?
Us the Carlton. Show us.
You can have come to on, do that. Us. You're going to have to do that. You don't have to right do it now. Right now if you don't want
come
to.
Come on.
But you're going
to. How do you even know I've got pants on underneath this shirt?
Well, that's.
Hey. Well, because Babe point, didn't
point
walk
well
the room
taken.
And
stay
say,
seated.
Put pants on.
No, I think we could have a dance off at this event. You against the feature winner every night. You know, I mean, I've seen you do the Carlton Banks, and it just makes me laugh. I don't know. If you
I'm known to throw some leg down.
Oh yeah, so we know you know how to party and have a good time, which again is very important for this event.
I'm actually at the track right now, and everything looks good, and I'm in the pits, and.
Hey, that looks like my backyard, Jim.
Yeah, I don't see a fence, though.
Oh, yeah. That was before I put the fence up.
Okay.
Well, that's what Brett told me here a while back. He goes, well, I just tell you, you get Florida, you get Peyton Taylor involved. And he said, if Peyton can't make you have fun down there in Florida, he said, I don't know that you can have fun in Florida. So, and that kind of
not to mention Tracy Clay surfing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I can't wait to talk to her, Jim.
All the IMCA guys, you know, that are getting their cars ready, want to go someplace warm, end of February, early March, we're about, 5 weeks out, roughly? most from, of that. From this podcast. I'm sure we'll have another one before then, but get your cars ready. And
unless
again,
we get canceled.
Good chance to race for some good purses, great point funds, awesome trophies, and awesome weather too, in a really cool part of the country.
He said February 26th, right?
Yes. Yep.
February 26th to March 4th.
So that means the race date's the 27th, and Super Dave's going to be there, so he's going to probably have to leave tomorrow.
Yeah.
To get there on time.
No kidding. Well, Peyton, we do appreciate you taking the time to join us today. You know, and we may talk about this again on our next podcast. Like I said, we'll probably have another one before the first green flag flies down there. So,
well, I appreciate y'all having me on board and let me kind of talk about this venue. And man, I've got a lot of good momentum going with it. People's been talking about, just excited to be doing it. And it wouldn't be possible without y'all guys, and I appreciate that.
Being a promoter is very, very tough. It's a very tough business to be in, so I have a great deal of respect for all the effort you're putting forward to try to make this thing go, and we're going to do our best to help, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good week.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Peyton.
Thank you.
See you, Peyton.
So, again, you know, that's the end of February. We got a lot going on. A little bit before then still, when it comes to special events, we do have the Mod Lights at Hendry County down in Florida as well.
Which is like, that's the furthest south
Sugar Bowl
that we have.
Yeah, that's the furthest, yeah.
It's right down there on the tip.
Yeah, it's damn near to Miami.
Yeah.
It's way down there. So, the dedicated Mod Light racers that want to get out at some of the cold weather, too, you know, they've got their shot. At Hendry County
coming up,
and that's a good Hendry County's a cool little race. Yeah, Hendry's on IMCA TV. The Icebreaker in Abilene in Texas, you know,
17th, 18th,
right around my birthday, which is the 20th. Mm-hmm. Every year, we run the Icebreaker there, and Rob's getting ready for his race. He's got a great purse there, and he's running many sanctioned divisions down there, not just mods like they're running at the Clash, or not just Mod Lights like they're running down at Hendry County, but Rob's running mods, stock cars.
Southern sport mods.
Compacts. Hobby stock.
Like 1,500 to win stock cars, I think, or 1,000. It's 1,000 to win each division, mods, stock cars, and Southerns each night. Two-day show at the Icebreaker. And, again, that's like 17th and 18th of February. Yep. So
once again, IMCA TV.
Also on IMCA TV. Correct. Yep. And then we got the Sniper too for stock cars, too, that's going to take place towards the end of, well, it's the beginning of March, actually, right?
So the last weekend of the Clash of the Coast is the first weekend
for of the Sniper Tour.
So they'll go to KSP for Friday, Saturday, and then it's Monday, Tuesday, Devil's Bowl, and
so there's
Wednesday,
a
Thursday
at Waco.
Waco. Wow.
A little bit, you know, we kick off with Kokopah every year, and then there's a little bit of a calm where we try to get everything ready to go for the season here. From the weekly racing standpoint, and then we just kick right into specials, usually in February, mid to late February, March, when in the climates where we can get some racing in, and then by the time we get to the end of March, everything around here is starting to thaw, and at least the upper Midwest, not completely upper Midwest, and Minnesota, I think, waits a little later, but get into April, and it's, you know, wide open. So, yeah, a lot of racing. Again, Ryan's been getting contracts in hot and heavy. We've got dozens of contracts in, starting to put the pieces together to get the season started. And that in itself is a big process for those that aren't really familiar with it. And I can say I've been doing this a long time. One of the most stressful situations for us as a sanction to be in is coordinating schedules with racetracks. It is incredibly difficult to at times get racetracks to, I don't know if get along is necessarily the word, but work with other racetracks.
See the big picture.
Right.
Yeah. And we do our best here as a sanction to accommodate that, mediate that, do everything we can to try to at least have it to where in every part of the country where racers have more than just one option to race at on a weekly basis. You know, if they have multiple options or special events where they can race for more money, they aren't all on the same night. You know, there's a lot of things that come into play when racetracks are submitting schedules to us, and it's very important for the racetracks in their defense. The most important thing the racetrack has is their schedule. So they take it very seriously. They're very adamant about it. They're very defensive at times, or they're very proactive on how they try to coordinate to where they can get the best turnout and everything else. You know, we're all working towards a common goal, you know, when it comes to scheduling and when it comes to races and everything else. Promoters do want to have success in the industry, obviously, because it's a business for them. And we want them to have success as well because we rely on it. We rely on it as a sanction, and the racers rely on it as competitors. You have to have a place to go. We've learned this from the pandemic, what, a couple short years ago.
When we do have to kind of step in and you know, maybe make some changes or try to do something, we're not doing it just to be pricks. I mean, trust me, there's a purpose. There's, you know, we're trying to do what's best for the industry, and sometimes that means making tough decisions.
And we would rather
that's
have
what we
got to
do.
Work it out amongst themselves without our involvement.
Correct.
I mean, ideally,
correct.
You know,
yeah, yeah. We hate to tell people no, but in certain circumstances, it gets to that. But we like to have racetracks work together. It's in their best interest. It's in the racer's best interest. We are not about having everybody fighting here all the time. One quick thing, I did mention mod lights, and I want to just touch on this real quickly. We are in the process of developing a mod light body drawing. You can see there, it stars mod light body drawing. We're in the process of developing that with sail panel rules, the hood, the nose, the body rules. We are in the process of getting this finalized and published on our website here very shortly, along with the frame rule that we had to redraw. We've drawn both of these, actually. Actually, the Mod Light body drawing itself we got from Brian Ziem at Peak Decal. So, again, I want to thank Brian for sending that to us so we could use it and turn it into a body diagram for Mod Lights. But
just a heads up to the other sanctioning bodies, we'll have this out shortly so you can copy it then.
It's a lot of work. It really is. I spent a lot of time on this, on trying to consolidate the rules. We're going to reformat the mod light rules a little bit. They're going to have a different look on our website in a PDF form. But instead of printing out 22 or 26 pages as a mod light racer, you're going to be able to hit the print button, and it's going to print out 4 pages. It's something you can put in your trailer. It's something you can put in your toolbox. It's something you can tape on the wall at your shop, which I think is very important. You know, we're trying to organize it. One of the first things, I remember when I first started here in 97, one of the first rule meetings we had, I was like, oh my God, these rules are all over the place. Not all over the place from the standpoint of they were all mixed together. You went from a shock sentence to a rear end sentence to an engine rule. And it was just all mumbled together. Very well written rules, obviously, they're IMCA rules, but we reorganized them. We just took the sentences, we categorized them, we put safety and frames and chassis and rear suspension, rear end. We categorized all those rules so it's easy for people to follow. And I think IMCA has that's very beneficial for us. It's easy to disseminate those rules, get them out to everybody. And we're trying to do the same with the mod lights because they're a little, they remind me a little of a bit of the scenario I was in here many years ago. And we're going to try to organize them a little bit better. We're not going to change them. So if you're a mod light racer and you're listening, I promise you,
don't panic.
When you see these rules, do not freak out. They are not changed. They are the same rules they've always had. We're just trying to make it easier for people to find what they need to know about each
item. Do you have the alternative mod light rules done?
I don't. I haven't got. I think we're going to give them a 50-inch spoiler. Okay. And I don't know, maybe like six tire. Well, they have 6 tire options in that class anyway. Maybe we give them 12.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I think a good alternative set will
come
help
one,
out.
Come all. The mod light, in defense of the mod light division, again, it's you've got mod lights in the Midwest, and then you've got mod lights in the Northeast. The division actually started up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. So they look kind of like an East Coast modified, is what I would call it. So they've got a little bit of body issues there with those mod lights in that area. And then we have the IMCA body rules in this area. And then you have dwarf cars that come into play.
And
which have it at the end, which have pickup trucks in them. Yeah. So we have all kind of come into play with mod lights, and Jimmy's done a good job to try to get all that stuff together in a way that it makes sense. We're just going to organize it a little bit differently and try to get it out where mod light guys can maybe find what they need to know a little quicker, you know? So, but again, Henry County's the first race for them. That's not that far away. It's in February, not that far away. So that's a big mod light race. I think we had, 70 of those things down there last year?
About 70. What's Saturday night paying? Was it?
A lot.
A lot.
it pays a lot. The
less than $1 million, more than $500.
One of the interesting things about that area, Henry County runs Mod Lights weekly for us. We sanction there. East Bay also runs some Mod Light sanctions on an annual schedule basis. So our presence down there from a divisional standpoint, Mod Lights is really all we have that far down into the state of Florida. We have the IMCA Modifieds up on the Panhandle. But Mod Light racing is pretty widespread, you know, and I've had some Mod Light racers reach out to me and say, how come you don't talk about Mod Lights more in your podcast? Well, we try, but it's easy to get off track and talk about a lot of different things when you talk about so many different subjects we can talk about in our podcast. But Mod Light racing, in my opinion, is headed to a very good place. I think it's showing signs of that, and I can't thank Jimmy enough for his confidence in IMCA. You know, this is something that's taken years for us to finally get done. You know, so Mod Light racers are just like all the other divisions. They're very passionate about their division of cars, and we want to make sure that we welcome that, and we want to make sure that we don't ever give them the impression that we're not as passionate as they are, because we are. What else do you guys want to talk about? We've been talking for like 3 hours. An hour and 10, Nate says, we've been talking for.
Anything else?
Not really. I mean, we could probably talk a little bit about back to Kokopah a little bit. Dave was down there and
they found something.
For the second year in a row, we've caught a cheated crate engine or an illegal crate engine.
Non-compliant,
unapproved, whatever you want to say, you know. And
doctored up.
It's interesting to me because, you know, as a sanction, we try to make rules that make sense. We try to have penalties that make sense. We try to provide guidance and enforcement and everything else. But when you have situations where you've got blatant cheating, you know, I used to take it very personally when I first started here. The cheating to me was like, oh, we're going to fix this. We're going to get this where racers don't cheat. And here, I've been here 25 odd years, whatever the heck it is, and it's still on like it was in 97 when I started here. You know, it's just, it's a part of the sport. It's maybe the ugly side of the sport a little bit, but we don't take it personally at IMCA. I did maybe initially, but I don't now. It's just kind of goes with the territory. We issue our penalties when we catch a cheated crate. You know, we give them the option. They can pay a small fine and turn the engine in, or they can pay the $10,000 fine. And we've had that option for a couple of years now, and I think I've got 6 engines. I'm losing track. I thought this was a good idea at first. But what the hell am I going to do with these engines?
Garage sale.
I thought maybe we could, like, too bad we didn't have, like, we could take them to Boone and hang them from the catwalks or something, you know, something cool. You know, put people's names on them, you know.
I think one of them's from Boone.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. Done. Yeah, maybe.
No, I got delivered to Boone.
Lives by Boone. But
yeah. I'd help switch that out of
it. That one had the wrong pistons in it and a bent rod. I don't know how I'd know that stuff if we didn't take it apart and look.
So what they found on the one, I mean, it was illegal bolts.
It didn't. It was a fairly, Dave usually calls them sophisticated cheats or not so sophisticated. And this one was apparently not terribly sophisticated in its presentation. So it was
visually easy found quickly.
Yeah. Yep. And the racer chose to turn in, and I think it's riding in the IMCA van, IMCA TV van right now, somewhere mm-hmm. around Arizona or whatever, coming back.
It was tucked away.
But from our standpoint, you know, I mean, we've always just wanted to get the people are going to cheat crate engines just like they're going to refuse claims. Just like they're going to cheat claim engines. You know, we don't take it personally. We just issue the penalties and move on, you know, and some racers do the same. They don't take it personally. They pay the penalties and take their lumps and move on, and some of them don't ever race IMCA again. But it is what it is, you know. But that particular situation is, you know, the very first race of the year. Well, one of the first races, yeah.
Yeah.
To catch a situation like that is interesting. Thought I'd add that. We can end our podcast on that. Let's find something more positive to talk about.
Did you want a zebra cake?
Your dogs.
Where are your dogs? I don't know where they went.
Are they alive? Oh, yeah.
I think they're under the table.
Gotta be in here somewhere.
This one down here is out like a light.
Oh, yeah. Jack's like, I'm just going to sleep. Then they'll get in the car and drive home, and they'll be like,
dogs are the best.
They are.
You can be have
that's the, why we're getting a third.
You can have the shittiest day on the planet and go home, and your dogs still love you, you know?
Or you can be riding in a car yesterday, and the Jim. One and the one has the shits on the other one, and you're like, ah, you know what? I just got to give you a bath and clean up the floor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just happens. Dogs are pretty good.
Well, so this is episode one, season two.
Two.
Right? Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Episode one, season two.
Yep. Season two, episode one.
What are we going to talk about in episode two of season two?
Double deuce. Holy
on
cow.
The loose.
Double deuce on the loose. Had one of those this morning.
We still don't have a lot. More information than we need to know. We still don't... We still won't have a lot of racing going on in the next 4 weeks, a little bit, but not
the
much.
End of the month, most middle of the month.
Yeah. So
Ryan's going to a trade show.
You're going
to Luxembourg. Yeah, you're going up to Wisconsin.
When is that?
Next Saturday, week from Saturday, the 4th. Are you doing some thinking? No.
Yeah, I'm thinking, no. I'm thinking I could show up.
I say, don't, you know, you're not going with me.
Well, no, I'm not saying okay. I'd go with you. I'd just say I might meet be you there.
Jim already told me I couldn't survive 5 hours in a car one way with you. So
in this area of Iowa, it's been relatively a pretty calm,
it's quiet right now.
Winter so far. We had that one blizzard.
How was the trade show last week at the Battle of the Barn?
We were going to get a booth for that, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, didn't have one.
Oh,
what?
We could have set you up. I mean, I talked about it.
What happened to the myself? Great American Trade Show?
I don't know. Not so know. Great. Sometimes things fall apart when partnerships so become.
Is this your brainchild?
No, I had nothing to do with that. I just
wasn't so great. Just the Great American Trade Show wasn't
finally,
so great.
Finally trying to get decarbon monoxide. It was trying to do.
Maybe it missed. You know, it was probably lacking of that trade show.
What? Attendance? Vendors?
The obvious.
People.
Oh, besides people, Jim. How about
common
the sanction?
Sense? Good leadership.
I had not see like you said I had nothing
no IMCA to there.
It's nothing to do with me.
Did I wanted go? To go, but I didn't.
To the what?
Were you there? Did you announce it?
Yeah, I had announced the fiasco of.
So Ryan's going to go up to Luxembourg.
It was a good time. I mean, now here's the deal: if you're ever going to argue with a cop, make sure you don't wear a shirt that says "I smoke weed, so I don't punch anyone."
Oh my God! What you were wearing that shirt?
No, this idiot at the barn was. I mean, oh. And wanted to argue with him? The cop.
The anger management part I can understand isn't appropriate, but weed should be legal.
It I'm okay. I mean, I'm
we had this conversation last week.
We could have some really fun non IMCA non racing conversations at this podcast because we're pretty
talk
diverse.
Weed all day. I worked in treatment centers for years.
Yeah, we are a very diverse group of individuals in this room. Although racing kind of brings us all together, we all have our own opinions, our political views, all kinds of stuff, and we could really have some fun conversations.
What if we just opened it
like the Joe Rogan podcast?
A tin
you know,
of gummies here and started. And then
pick a category.
And then about 45 minutes into the podcast, see where the shit goes downhill. Because I guarantee you.
I probably wouldn't be able to form a sentence.
Yeah. Can you take them 45 minutes before we start?
I'd be really hungry. We'd have to bring in like a bunch of pizzas.
That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Be like you Joe know, Rogan
I've
and
never,
Elon Musk
never,
smoking my
I've never tried gummies before, podcast. But I think... I've seen they work. Let's put it like that.
Oh, they work. They work.
Yes, they do.
Jerry, you're kind of quiet.
Me and Grant saw that firsthand.
Nice. Jim sits there.
She did more than go to races in Arizona, huh?
You know what? Somebody said, "Here, try this," and I'm like, "Okay, I will." And
you shut up.
Oh, yes. I go to a whole different level.
We found the magic quietness. Pill.
Yes. Jim was like, "Are you
the
okay?"
Magic gummy.
I'm like,
oh my God. Yes, so needless to say, we will have, or somebody will have some available at Boone this year.
We need to get, nice. We need to get a bill on Governor Reynolds' desk to make this shit legal. And if you're going to stop,
I've asked her about it.
Grant's got one mission before the Super Nationals.
Oh, I don't know if you know it or not. It's there. I see pretty, you just, next thing you know, here you go.
So again,
who was that guy?
Get back on the rails. What?
The one in the suit.
Matthew Sanders, Northern Sport Mod.
He's like Oregon. About 7 foot tall. He's a, I mean, yeah, I met Oregon's him at, first I met him time at Kokopah.
State champion for Matthew this year, so he won himself an iBike. So it's going to be a real lot of fabric for that driving suit.
Yeah, I mean, he
I'm about to pay the difference out of my salary. since I drew
his
name.
car was very, you could see it. It was black and green and didn't have any skirting on it. He took a.
Might have to be red this year.
Yeah, was a red fire suit going to go with that?
Yeah, but Christmas colors, red and green. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, and then I did see that they're having a 7,000 to win sport mod race up there. Is that in Oregon they're doing that?
They're talking about it. I don't know if it's been announced yet.
I saw something on Facebook, or maybe it's ahead of us.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. So
four sport mod drivers only.
And that will likely, like Jim hit on it, that'll likely be a sanctioned event, which means no, you can't have a modified license and race and pretend to be a sport mod guy.
Not going to happen.
Every year we get in. Somebody that hates us for that particular rule, but I think the sport mod racers, Northern and Southern, like that rule.
Right. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Hour 20. Are we talking too much?
Didn't season one, episode one, go like 127?
I don't think we've wrapped that one up yet. I think this is kind of, we're doubling that up.
Number one?
We're doubling that up.
Well, we do have a lot of people that listen to our podcast. That is for sure. People say it to me.
How many people have trouble sleeping at night?
People say it to me. People say it to you guys. I know that
you always send us in our text group once in a while about the stats. Like, congratulations, you've got. You got time, or does that take too long?
The last time we had a podcast, I made a mention about my daughter's cheerleading. Yeah, because they've got like blackouts where you can't miss practices. And I'm like, we're leaving. We're going to miss practice. I don't care what the cheerleader says. Come to find out that the Jordan, the guy who owns the cheer gym that my daughter competes at, her brother races a sport compact. So they thought that comment was really funny. And I'm like, uh-oh. So
kind of
blew my cover. But Jordan, her brother, races a sport compact. One of the cheer coaches at the gym, her and her husband, Haley, and her husband go to the Super Nationals every year. It's a real small world.
I mean, down at Kokopah, I mean,
that's what's cool about racing.
Somebody would stop us. When's the next podcast?
That's what's cool about racing is you always, wherever you go, you always meet somebody that knows something about racing. And it may not always be IMCA, but there are people, racing is very widespread.
Yeah, they know something about something. About some form of the aspect of
yep.
it. Where'd you go, Jim?
I had to go answer a phone call.
Oh. Anybody important?
My son.
Oh.
Hey.
Whoa! Are you grandpa again?
Are you grandpa?
Yeah. Because you thought you were going to have to fly home.
This.
Nope. Nothing yet.
We should have started the podcast on this subject.
I forgot all about it.
Jim is scheduled to be a grandfather today.
See, and hopefully he thought today, he was going to have to fly home from. He's like, I go, what are you doing? Changing flights. I got to go. I go, what happened?
False alarm.
And then all of a sudden it was like gas.
False alarm.
She had gas.
False alarm.
So we are looking to add another official to our team here, hopefully. You know, don't know if it's a boy or a girl. There's all kinds of, we don't know names. We don't know anything yet.
We just know there's a baby on the way.
Yes, baby on the way. Just hopefully it doesn't look like Jim.
Oh, come on. Man.
It's not lying. We're all thinking it.
Little sucker comes out and looks just like Jim.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know.
Because JJ looks like you, Jim.
He does.
JJ looks like you. He has your mannerisms. When you see people and their children and they act like each other, they talk like each other, all that stuff. JJ is definitely Jim's kid. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I will say
goes well.
When the baby is born.
That's what matters.
Yes, that's all that matters. Sex,
as long as, hopefully everything goes well.
When the baby's born.
So keep us posted, Jim.
I will do that.
Doesn't matter whether it resembles Jim or not.
Correct.
It will be whining just as much as he does when he's born. It's a slap from the doctor.
Maybe a new grandchild will mellow Jim out.
Well, he said he's going to be the new one, but he still hasn't come up with any new pictures. I mean, that is another thing that somebody asked me. When Jim going to get some new pictures for his background?
I kind of like the one I got up now.
Don't encourage this. Yeah. I'm still waiting for the damn sound machine. I know. I want buttons to push like Kramer Mad Money.
Call Jim Naylor. I think he still has one.
He has one?
Yeah, he has one of those sound machines.
I have one.
Oh, you do have one. Oh, that's right. You do have one.
I have one at the race. There's one at the racetrack in Boone. There's one in my. There's one somewhere in my garage.
Well, let's wrap it up. Let's wish everybody happy and New Year.
Yep. Hope you all enjoy.
Remind everybody to check out IMCA TV schedule if they want to watch some races.
That should be your New Year's resolution.
You can watch the replays. If you missed Kokopah Live, you can watch the replay live. There are races happening every month on our replays.
Yep.
Unlike some of the other ones. So check all that stuff out. We'll have races, obviously, next month. We'll have a little bit more to talk to, hopefully, by the next time we have a podcast. Jim's going to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of cool things happening.
You and Jim are going
to kinder,
be
gentler grandpa. Jim. Nicer, Jim. Friendlier.
Jim.
Maybe it'll mellow
kinder, gentler Jim.
I doubt it.
He'll be never know.
He'll be like that one Jim that says they don't stereotype their people that work out.
All right, so let's wrap it up.
All right, so there it is. Make sure and join us on IMCA TV for any great action and replay pass. Just buy it because racers get money back. So you give money to the racers when you buy
tracks
that replay
get money
pass.
Back. Tracks racers get money back.
Racers
don't be a cheap ass.
Don't be a gym. So off. You going for a sandwich?
I'm just going to hang tight.
All right. Well, we'll hang tight here till season 2, episode 2, the Double Deuce. Join us for that next time. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for supporting great IMCA Racing and IMCA TV.